shut up. Put it on triple M. For the Herald Sun's Nissan Supercoach.
Welcome to the Friday Rob. Triple M rocks football.
Nice to have your company, Etihad Stadium, Friday night, of course. And we have got the Hawks and the Blues as we get ready to start this big round of footy. I'll look around the room. The best in the business are here. I'm going to introduce them in a second. But our guest, Brett Ratton, is going to join us, of course, not only attached to the Hawks now, but the big celebration of the reunion of the 1995 Premiership side. The Blues took all before them that year, and of course Brett Ratton, a best and fairest in that year and a Premiership player, so lots to talk to him about. And then our man in the box here, Dennis Armfield.
Never been so excited.
I think it might be his first appearance, actually, live on Triple M, certainly in the box. I'm going to see if he's wearing the mushtaq, which he's made his own. I'm not sure if that works for him. And just get a little bit of a feeling for that slightly weird young Nipsey. Hello to you, Gary.
G'day, Jimmy. I'm excited. He's a three-time Triple M All-Australian, Dennis.
He is.
Favourite team of the century. Mm. And I'm excited to have him in. Sort of excited about the game in a sort of car crashy style, seeing probably what the margin's going to be.
Well,
and yes.
Oh, sorry.
No, interrupt me. Go on.
I was going to say, I don't even think Chief, who is the world's best at talking his own mob down, could possibly find a way that the Hawks could lose tonight.
Welcome, Chief.
Evening, Jim. Gaz.
Could you do it, Chief?
I think the Hawks are entitled to be favourite tonight.
That's the biggest
count. That is.
Ben Dixon from Crown Bet just wound them out. Another 10 points.
And Purple just been up on the Gold Coast, speaking to Harley Bunnell. Well done with that. And a very nice interview, I thought it was.
Yeah, and I like the fact he was contrite about it, Jim. And I got the feeling, having spent a bit of time with him yesterday, that it was genuine when he said he wants to rectify his ways. And he's on a last chance. He knows that. But I hope he's right that he has set himself on a correct path.
Oh, that's good, because you needed to bounce back. You had a poor 24 hours prior to that. So,
the reference.
Do we want to do that now?
No, I'm not. I'm in celebration mode, Purple.
Well, I'm going to
celebrating.
Go there.
Well, I'm going have
there.
To go there.
I'm going there. Brent Harvey plays game number 400 tomorrow night against the Brisbane Lions up on the up north. Somewhere, somehow, along the way, this has been hijacked. This celebration, and I don't know where it's coming from, and I'm interested to discuss it because the Warrior has contributed to it, and everyone, we respect opinion in his more than anyone. I know Boomer and got a great relationship with him, so I followed it all really closely. I can't for the life of me see how North Melbourne have been disrespectful to Brent Harvey in any way, shape or form. I'm not an apologist for anyone, so put the chairman aside here. I can't work it out. And when I see Premiership teammates of his buying in and trying to push that line, I if anyone's been disrespectful to Boomer, I think it's those that are perpetuating this sort of stuff.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because I've only been passed on this story third hand, and I'm glad we've got Warrior here who can tell us exactly the origins of it and the context behind it. But are we suggesting, or is the article suggesting, Warrior, that it's not inconceivable that Brent Harvey could break the all-time AFL games record for a club other than North Melbourne?
That was the headline around what I'd written, Chief. David King's got, I think, similar views. But what I was writing,
I should jump in and say he denied last night on the Footy Show, point blank, eventually.
Eventually.
Yep. It did take him a while.
I put it to him. He said, well, that's a hypothetical question. I'm not in the position to answer hypothetical questions. And then when pushed, he said, no, if I'm playing next year, I will be playing at North Melbourne. Go.
And will he be playing at North Melbourne?
How would I know? But I suspect he will be. But, I mean, that's a decision for North Melbourne, and rightfully their decision to make.
Yep. And, Chief, what I wrote yesterday on the AFL website was that the game that Brad Scott's playing, and he's got every right to do it, and I made that point too, about not guaranteeing Brent Harvey a future, that can be a game that Brent Harvey can play as well, about his future not necessarily being at North.
You're calling it a game, yeah. You're calling it a game. Isn't that just a coach answering questions?
Yeah, it is, and I acknowledged all of that too. But on two occasions, well, it's a game in the sense that it's keeping Brent Harvey on his toes.
But the implication of a game is that there's some ulterior motive to it other than answering the question, honestly.
Well, I would say there is an ulterior motive to it, Gary, because he's come back from his time out of the game and immediately made the decisions to drop Lindsay Thomas and to sub Brent Harvey, which he's got every right to do.
I wouldn't call that a game. I'd call it strong
coaching. Yeah, I would too.
Particularly given they're outside the eight and underperforming.
But Brent Harvey has somehow become the focus of this new Brad Scott.
By who?
By Brad Scott.
Well, how?
by the way that he was subbed, and then publicly, regularly now, two occasions, maybe three occasions, talking about there's no guarantee.
Not volunteering that. My understanding is he doesn't walk into a press conference and say, before we start, let me just give you the heads up here. Boomer's not guaranteed next year. Let's just put that on the record. My understanding is he goes along and does his regular press. And I've spoken to Jimmy. I hate putting this rider in, but this is what happens when you've got someone that's in a position of power in the room. It's not my understanding where he goes along and says that. He goes along to answer regular questions at a press conference, and every single journalist at a press conference has asked him about it.
Yep.
And as is his way, he answers it honestly.
And you've now got a man playing 400 games of football on the weekend, the fourth person in history to do so.
I understand that.
The talk has been about
The
future.
But who's talking about the future,
Brad Damon? Scott is not talking about
the future. He's answering the questions that are put to him by a large media pack, which is understandable. Now, Brad could say, listen, I'm not talking about the future. Let's just deal with the here.
Well, he could have, yeah.
But he could have, but that's not his way. He chooses to speak in an honest and open dialect. And from where I'm sitting, it's not unreasonable. I mean, this what's been purported now, you know, David King, his premiership teammate, which carries weight because, you know, they've played together, is that there's some ulterior motive at North Melbourne who are trying to denigrate this great young or great old champion on the eve of his 400th game.
Well, I can't talk for David King. I don't think it's been an attempt to denigrate, but it has diminished... What is happening to Brent Harvey tomorrow night?
No, I can't cop that to people. I don't see that. I see Brad as being asked a straight question. We spoke just recently, and this does get me angry, because we spoke recently about people in the footy industry basically lying. And we all said, well, why do we do that? It's 2015. So you've got these two brothers who I love, and I always put that rider on because I love Chris and Brad. What I love most about them is how blatantly obvious they are, honest they are. So he's asked a question about Brent. He said, mate, if his body holds up and if he keeps playing the role that we want him to play, I can't see him having a problem. Now, how is that answer even remotely inappropriate? This is a 37-year-old footballer. What we do at North, and I can't speak for the Hawks or anyone else, but we did it with Brady Rawlings and with Arch and Steve-O and Adam Simpson when they got into their 30s, is we said, mate, we'll wait to the end of the year. We'll see how your body holds up. We'll also see how you go mentally. And Anthony Stevens a great example because he was just before his 300th game. And as I understand it, was before my time at the club. But people at the club said, mate, we will give you the ability to play on and get to that mark. And Steve-O turned around and said, I'm cooked. I'm out. So,
but Steve-O was cooked. But Steve-O was cooked.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, so, he was finished. Brent Harvey's not finished.
Yeah, okay, but we've got a third of the season still to go. So what all Brad is saying is, let's get that done. And as we always do with players at this stage of their career, we'll assess their body to make sure that's okay. We'll assess their form and make sure that we still think there's a role for them. And if he ticks both of those boxes, he'll play on.
And that's my read on it.
How, Damo, is that even remotely inappropriate?
Jim, I'm fully aware, and I can see that what my argument is not a hardcore football decision that people like Brad Scott make. But when you factor in Brent Harvey being in his 20th year of football, still playing, in my eyes, I would say almost as well as ever. Now, the club can dispute that, and I can see that he may have dropped off on a few fronts.
Inside the camp perspective is different to the outside.
Yeah, I reckon it probably is. Yep. But you see also Nick Del Sando, who's not one to throw words around willy-nilly, said he's still the North Melbourne best player 3 weeks ago. I take the view that rather than look at what a 38-year-old, which he turns next year, can't do, look at what he can still do. I also take the view too, and I'm very strong on this, that he's earned the right to be given the opportunity. Now, when I say opportunity, he's earned the right to be right now told he can stay on that list next year. That's not a guarantee of a game. It's not even a guarantee of a game next week. But it's the right, I reckon, right now, to be told that you can go into 2016, your 21st year, and if it all goes well, it's a very important milestone. And it's a club milestone almost as much as it is an individual milestone, given that Brent Harvey's only played for one footy club.
I haven't heard anyone say that's not going to happen.
Well, Brad Scott's not committed to it.
You don't have to do it now, Damo. Why do it now?
But why not do it now?
Well,
because it's one spot on the list.
Seven games plus hopefully a final
to
go for this
footy
club.
But you expect them to fall away that dramatically?
Well, Damo, so much can change. But anyway, I'm arguing against myself.
It's one spot on the list, Gary. There's 45 spots on a list. It's not a guarantee of a senior game. It's a guarantee of a spot on a 45-man list.
I suspect that conversation's going to take place in due course. This is my feeling, having not spoken. And he's going to go on and play and celebrate this great record. Why are we jumping at this massive hurdle now? Because there's no guarantee given at round 16. I mean, why are we the dredging up of this instigates the debate and it self perpetuates, and then some other bozo jumps over the top, and then Mark Robinson has a go at Brayshaw. We go, well, Brayshaw hasn't spoken about him. Well, what sort of dickhead comment is that? I mean, the chairman has got to come out. I've worked with Jim for 10 years. No one's blown more wind up his bum, Boomer, than Jim.
Now, this one's got nothing to do with
Jim. But this is what happens. This is the frustration. I'm just sitting here going, I'm looking forward to watching this great player go and play game number 400. And now I'm getting all this outside noise saying somehow they're disrespecting him. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
No. Well, and I take offence at that too, Purple. I must admit.
At the
inference that he has been disrespected by the club this week. Because I just don't believe that.
I think Brad Scott knows the way the media works well enough to know that by answering the questions the way he has answered them, it's going to be picked up.
And don't you want him to answer them honestly?
Oh, Gary,
you more than anyone in this caper, laud people who answer honestly regardless of the consequences.
Yeah. But this is a moment to seriously celebrate.
Which is and it's more than likely going to happen.
Detracted from.
Warrior, is Boomer himself feeling genuinely disrespected?
I think that's a question for Brent Harvey. Well, I've been told that he's got a few issues, yeah.
I asked him yesterday, and I can only go on what they're answering. And you know, publicly, you're not, I suppose, going to say anything other than no. And that, I guess you also would then go on track record, right? If I'm Boomer... And if I'm asked that question, I'd go on track record and suggest that I've been pretty well supported by this footy club for 20 years.
Yeah.
That's not a bad track record.
But he's also, you know, I don't want to laud him to the point where I don't
no,
see
him. You can laud him, you should.
Because I've had more run-ins with Boomer than anyone in footy because he's been around for so long. And had a serious run-in with him last year, actually, over the Tom Rockliffe stuff. But I just think 20 years, he's knocked back significant offers over the journey. He knocked back an offer 3 years ago.
So he's
been loyal to the North cause. I just don't think it's as big a deal as Brad Scott and North Melbourne people making out to now commit to giving him the chance. That's all it is. Commit to giving him the opportunity.
At his age, Warrior, do you believe there's genuine interest from other clubs? Who's going to recruit a 37-year-old that's about to turn 38?
Because I think clubs, and I know of one, Chief, I'm not going to name it now, but I know of one, and I believe there'd be more, that they would look at what Brent Harvey can still do at the age of 38, which will be in May next year, rather than what, you know... And again, Brad Scott's entitled to do it, Gaz. I've never, ever said Brad Scott's not entitled to do it. But the ramification of doing or saying what he said is that it leaves open to the milestone tomorrow night diminished.
Well, and I'm disappointed if that's the case, if that's how it's being interpreted by the broader footy public. Because if I just listened to everything that was said and then, listen to Brad answer and whatever, and shut out every other thing, my news radar wouldn't tingle. My news radar, this may be... My news radar says, well, fair enough, yep. Right answer, I reckon he's going to play. But all of a sudden, as you do in this industry, you broaden your view, and you listen and read and watch, and I just don't get it. I can't quite understand how this has come about.
And I must admit, Purple, because I had a bit on earlier in the week in other areas of my life, I missed a bit of what had happened. Mm. So then I read not what you'd written, more what David King had written, and I then made some calls to the club and I said, has anything more been said beyond what Brad said in his presser? And Heath O'Loughlin said, no, that's all that's been said. So I then went online to listen, and I'm with Gaz. When I heard it, I thought, this all can't have come out of that answer. I just don't get how that answer
has
driven
one answer.
That article.
There's two and a half times he's addressed it publicly. And as Gaz said, questions were being asked of Brad. It's not as if he's volunteering this.
He's got every
right to do what he wants to do. But to me, the ramification of saying what he said is that we're talking about it as we have now, and that Brent Harvey tomorrow night's playing his 400th game, and there's a story equally as big.
Well, we're going to agree to disagree, and that's great. Yep. That's what we do. But I'd say the ramification of his answer is, yeah, fair enough. Then they'll sit down and get this game, celebrate this game, and the next month they'll sit down and I reckon he'll play on next year.
Which is what footy departments do, last time I checked. That's my issue with it. But anyway, we'll agree to disagree, Purple. We often do.
We got through that, Jim, without us having a massive
blue McDonald's. I'm in celebration mode, Purple, so I'm not blueing with anyone.
Jim, you only had Boomer on your radio show Tuesday, on your football show Thursday, so you haven't pumped him up enough.
No,
apparently.
I haven't. I tell you,
where's Brayshaw been?
I've pumped the little bastard up that much. He could float out of South Yarra on a nice, the Yarra Valley on a nice morning and head over the city.
It's a personality.
You know how much I love him. Harley Bennell. You went up there and chatted to a young man who's got to realign his life.
Yeah, he does.
And it it looked and sounded to me like he's down that path.
Yeah, that was the impression I got too, Jim. I spoke to him before the interview and obviously after it as well, and felt that there was a man who had the wake-up call that he clearly needed. He conceded that. And for those who didn't watch the footy show last night, this is a tight recap of a couple of issues that he touched on, one being the fact that he felt his career was over on the publication of that purchased photograph in the Herald Sun, and also the effect it had on him when he had to ring his mother in advance of that photo being published. Harley Bunnell last night.
Well, this happened so quickly, and I had a couple of meetings with the football club to actually spoke to Marcus over the phone to see if I still had a contract, and he said, yeah, he's the going to put faith in me, so I'm going to have to put faith back in the football club and hopefully turn my career around. I couldn't sleep at night. I'm more worried about my family more than anything, my mother. When I was young, I've always told her I hated drugs. And for her to look on the front page of the Herald Sun and see her son with four lines in front of him, it's not a good look, especially for my baby sister. So it broke her heart, broke mine as well.
Contracted for next year. There is interest from other clubs, but he clearly, Jim, wanted the right to try and rectify the wrongs at the club he's currently at. Now, I still expect his name to be thrown around in the trade period. Whether he can use the remaining time this season, he's back this week playing Adelaide tomorrow to make sure and make a compelling enough case for the club to take his name away from those talks. But I do expect his name to be out there come October.
All right. He's an unbelievable talent. That's straight up and down. So if he gets his act together, he can be a star of the game. That's how good he is. This is my question here for all the box. You sat in front of him and spent time with him, so you're the best placed here. So genuine in his remorse. You know, we had Daniel Kerr, who in hindsight probably was too early for him. Didn't quite get where we thought he was going to get to. He was different last night, you thought?
Yeah, it was. And even just pre-interview, so to speak, he made the comment that it dawned on him fully a week after it happened. And I took that he was really just caught up in the maelstrom of it when it first happened, dealing with it on a daily basis, even an hourly basis. And then a week later, it really hit him that, hang on, I actually am in trouble here, and I've been in the system long enough now to know better, and I need to change my ways. And that was the impression I got off camera and on camera.
Okay, so the question is, with our drug policy at the moment, first, second strike, third strike, they're all kept under the radar, no public... Is this a case to say, well, here's a boy who's been splashed across the front pages of newspapers around the country, and that has helped contribute to the realisation and the dawning of him that how big a deal this is and the ramifications for his life and the public backlash and all that sort of stuff? It may hasten his going down the
recovery.
Right path,
yep.
As opposed to the other young kid at another Club X who gets done for the same thing. Positive test, no one knows about it. He thinks, oh, I might have got away with this, and continues on down that path.
And then that strike elapses after a period of 2 years, and they do it again. And the other issue, Gaz, on that front is the Collingwood players, Lachie Keefe and Josh Thomas, who are being found to have taken what is a performance-enhancing drug, but there's a backstory to that it's an illicit drug issue. So that has been the biggest wake-up call with the Harley Bunnell publication of photos. It's they're the greatest messages that have been sent in the entirety of this whole drugs policy, and yet the two messages that are being sent have actually been outside the messaging and the confines of the policy itself.
It's the first time I've heard contrition from Harley Bennell, and I needed to hear it, but as far as I'm concerned, that is just the very, very tip of the iceberg. He might have a six-week window now, and I agree with you, Gaz. He's got some exquisite skills, this young man, and he could put on a quarter season over the last 6 weeks that just makes everyone sit up and look. And again, that is still the tip of the iceberg. The big test for Harley Bennell will come in the off-season when he's away with his mates and they're out drinking, they're out partying, and there is an exposure to illicit drugs, which we know there is virtually in just about every environment, particularly the younger brigade these days. And his ability then to make a rational and a sound decision, that's going to be the big test for him. And to do that repeatedly.
I don't think there's any doubt, Damo, that the Players Association and the AFL acknowledge that there does need to be a change in the policy.
Yeah.
It's what that change ends up looking like that will be of interest.
Yep.
Whether we'll get to the stage, as Gaz is alluding, where players are named immediately, I doubt. But it will be tightened up.
Yeah,
and it has to be, I think.
As far as I can tell, Jim, we can rule out ever the possibility of a first strike being a name situation. Yep. This is still not... In fact, we'll even go a step further of taking the public, I suppose, fascination around it with the figures that were once released annually. That won't be happening. It hasn't happened this year. It won't be part of the new policy as far as it is being worked on right now. And the three-strike policy will come back to two, again, as far as it's being worked on a working paper right now. But they're the headline changes that will happen under this policy.
Triple M footy at Etihad for Carlton and Hawthorn, of course, celebrating the Blues tonight. The 20-year anniversary of their last premiership in 1995, and it's playing on the big screens up here. And it's got us captivated a bit because we're all, well, you blokes were playing, and Purple and I were devoted fans of footy at this stage, and some of the names running around are just hilarious, including whoever's playing on Big Stephen Kernahan.
Number 36 for Geelong in the 1995 Grand Final. We're good at picking these up, but we haven't had a good look at him yet.
Well, mainly because he hasn't been on the screen at any stage when Big Stephen has.
He's right. Been chasing Brad Pearce around too.
Yeah.
So we got Brett Ratten coming along, who of course played in the game and was the best and fairest for the Blues that year.
Luke says here, Tripp, and the man with the head like a straight line was on Merrick's show earlier.
Really?
You could hear because Merrick started snoring.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on.
Wouldn't have done that.
Come on.
We love honest feedback, though.
No, we do.
Oh, couldn't here we have go. Done that. Righto, we'll find out who it is, Gary,
got
please.
The book here, Chieftain.
Go now,
Tim McGrath. Oh, it was Ben Graham.
Ben Graham.
Oh, 36. There we go.
Yep.
Yeah,
oh,
Ben Graham.
I didn't think he would be.
A smaller version of the one he's become.
Yeah. Well, we'll be able to, as I say, chat to
Let me just give
it.
You a big sticks, kick the lazy five. Yep. Diesel kick five. Pierce kick four.
Norm Smith, Diesel.
Bradley two.
Kick 50 goals at you, Pierce.
Geelong. Brownless.
Oh. That must have been very early for Ben Graham because he changed number seven.
At the moment,
he?
It's 20 goals, 12 to 6-8 or something, so it's
not
a
pretty,
nice old pumping.
They kicked late goals, Geelong.
Well, as I've said before, the man who won the best and fairest for the Blues that year and was a premiership player that year and is now part of the coaching staff here at the Hawks is Brett Ratten, who's been good enough to join us. Rats, welcome.
James, how are you, mate?
What are you? Before we get on to tonight's game, you would have had a quick glance up at the big screen here. What are your memories of this amazing day?
Oh, it was just, I suppose it was all the work that we did for a few years, and to come to plan and to execute what we did was really rewarding because only the year before we got knocked out in straight sets, and in 93 we lost the grand final. So it was more about 3 years' work than just that day. But, amazing experience, and we'll have the reunion tomorrow night with the club, and, probably... Diesel thought he was pretty good then. I reckon he'll think he was unbelievable now.
Hey, Rats, Gaz and Chief, of course, have played in grand finals. Chief, lots of them, along with yourself. But it must be an amazing feeling when you're this far in front, this early in the game, and you realise, I guess the realisation comes to you earlier than most, that you're going to be a premiership player that year.
Yeah, it was. I think I was just talking to Birch downstairs, and, we gave up a few goals late, and I think Kuda, his bike kicked one and he was head down, and I gave him a bit of a hug and said, don't worry, mate, we're 50-odd points up or 60 points. So, yeah, it was nice because there's so many games of footy that are really tight and you've got to go to the wire. But, to sort of reflect back and just enjoy the last quarter was great.
Rats, at what stage of the game did you think you were home, and who did you carve up? Who were you playing on?
Oh, I didn't carve up anyone, Jace, but...
25, I just saw Rats, lazy, yeah. 25 possessions.
I played on Couchy, which I did a fair bit through that period of my career. And
wide of each other?
I was a bit closer to Couchy than he was to me.
Exactly right.
I was a bit younger, so I was trying to do my best then to stop him, but... It was just a great game, and I forgot the question now, Jay. Sorry.
What stage of the game did you genuinely think you were home?
I think there were some defining moments in the game. The Spalding smother was like, I think we're right on here. It was just an amazing smother, and he kicked the goal, and I thought, we're right on our game here. But it was probably that three-quarter time. You sort of thought, let's enjoy the last quarter and have a bit of fun and get out there and. All that hard work that we've done, just work together and enjoy it.
And the good news is, Rats, you'll be able to make your way to the bar at the reunion because the Duke's not coming over, I understand. He's got some junior coaching commitments. So that's the beer tab will be down.
Yeah, well, we've still got sticks there, so that'll probably offset that damage. And
That was a dominant year this Carlton Footy Club put in, and dominant, obviously, in the grand final that we're having a look at now. This footy side that you're involved with, Hawthorn, have played two dominant games against genuine contenders and have played some unbelievable footy now for a long period of time. Can you see, and I'm not going to ask you the old Dorothy Dixon which one would win, but are there similarities in their level of confidence and belief and professionalism in that group and the one you're involved with now?
Oh, definitely. And I think the talent across the board, I think when you look at every line at the Hawks, you know, they've had some great players for such a long time. When you talk of Hodge and Mitchell, and you know, Gibson has been an outstanding backman for such a long time, and then Roughhead down at the pointy end of the ground as well. So right across the board, but really right across the lines, I think they're elite players of their time, and that's what it was like back then as well.
And you played with Williams. You yourself were an outstanding midfielder. How does Sam Mitchell stack up? He's the closest thing to Greg Williams I've seen, I reckon.
Yeah, I agree with you, Gaz. He's you know, Williams went forward late in his career, but Mitchell goes back, and just his ball use as well. So that's maybe the modern game, but they're both outstanding players and could influence a game, you know, just with a few touches, but they always get so many.
Well, I agree, mate. It's been an absolute joy to watch him go about it. And I guess last week, sat back, you played Fremantle and did a number on them, and we all thought, well, they don't travel down to Tassie that well, and going up to Sydney was going to be the test. It was a ruthless professionalism, and, you know, you throw Ruff back into that side after the, you know, the drama that he's had to endure, and, I mean, he just didn't miss a beat.
No, it was probably everyone contributing, Gaz. It was right across the board. We sort of just didn't leave it to a few to get us going. It sort of happened from the first bounce, but I suppose the coach spoke about it afterwards. It was a funny game, that game, because when you look at the inside 50s, it was very even. Clearances were even. But our effectiveness with the ball was probably the thing that really stood out from last week's game.
Rats, why did it take so long in 2015 for the Hawks to hit their straps? I mean, the last 2 weeks have been supreme efforts, but it really looked as though they were just sort of going at 80% or so, basically, over the first 12 or 13 weeks.
Yeah, probably early in the year, Jace, our starts weren't great, and we're giving teams a look at the result really early in the first quarter, sort of getting off to a flyer. Like the Sydney performance was 6 goals, Port Adelaide was about 8-0. So we gave up a lead and had to work so hard to get back in the game, and we've really addressed that and made it a real contest in the first quarter, and then just worked our way into the game, and I think that's really helped us to, you know, maybe just being a bit more patient instead of coming out and thinking, you know, we'll just flick the switch and get going straight away. We've been a bit more patient in our games, which has really helped us.
Brett, James Frawley returning through the VFL. How many games do you expect him to require before he's back up in the seniors?
It'll probably depend on James, I think, just how the shoulder responds and how it goes. But, yeah, he's a valuable person for our team to get back in, and whether it takes 1 week or three, that'll be sort of up to James and the medicos to make sure everything's right, because we just can't afford to have someone in the team and go down early. And he'll be right, though. He'll get back and play, but I can't tell you if it'll be 1 week or three.
And have you been impressed in recent times with the progress made by Ryan Schoenmaker? It's been a work in progress for a long time, but the last couple of weeks, starting to look at home, is that fair to say?
Yeah, it is. It's he played a lot of his juniors as a forward, especially for South Australia through that Teal Cup or under 18 competition. So, yeah, he's probably more naturally a forward, and through necessity had to go back here at the Hawks. But he looks really comfortable and is having a real impact. He's worked right up the ground, and he's a big man, and he can run all day. So it's really good for Ryan. He's worked really hard, and he's playing great footy at the moment.
Hey, Rats, good luck with everything tonight. And, yep. Of course, we don't have to tell you to have a great night tomorrow night too.
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
Down hey, on the boundary.
You know, I don't buy into the whole coaching speculation. I'll just let it go. But if you take everything into consideration, that bloke has to be, I'm talking Brett Ratten, has to be at the top of any prospective wish list. Given experience, senior coaching experience, and reasonably successful relative to, you know, the list, and then goes into a program that is the best we've seen in recent times under the best coach in recent times, how he is not at the top of whatever, you know, list there are out there is beyond me.
And he's still young, isn't he?
The only issue is, Gaz, it's been how many decades since the era of clubs moving on coaches and then getting that same coach back? It just hasn't happened in the modern era, has it?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know whether Carlton would go down that path. Mm. They should, but whether it's too...
But that happened. It was commonplace at different stages. Parko's the great coaches that had two goes in the club.
But, I mean, the Adelaide Crows are looking for a coach now as well. But, I mean, I was talking to...
lots of boxes.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to another coach who is not in contention and has ruled himself out. But he said, second time round, it just it is as obvious as the nose on your face, you're going to be better.
And, Michael Voss, his first
run was pretty good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was.
It wasn't like he was ordinary. That's a good point you make for McDonald's. I'll tell you what we're doing next is ship off. Oh, and no. I think the chief's ready to go.
Actually, I'll be really honest, Jim. I'm not looking forward to ship off tonight.
Well, chief,
it's a little close to home.
Chief,
I've been in every one.
I don't like it.
So just give it
to him. Give it to him, chief.
Because
we're solid back here, so give it to the rest.
Just too close to home.
I can't be that regular an appearer, chief. I can't keep propping your segment up. Is what I'm saying.
I think Wolf needs to be careful.
No! A segment that's been going now for a while and gained a hell of a lot of traction is who can ship off. I'm not sure if we got golf bag back there. Hit this thing, golf bag.
Ship the hell off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Find a little boat and ship the hell off. Soft target early, Jim.
Yes.
The Honourable Speaker, Bronwyn Bishop.
Oh, come on, Bronny.
Who's decided that the Australian tax dollars is her personal credit card.
There we are.
Her personal expense account. About the only thing she hasn't charted is a ship. So she needs to spend her last whack on that, hop on it, and just ship off, Bronwyn.
Yes,
but now, need to talk about Robert Allenby.
Oh, no.
Canadian Open overnight, travelling around, and he's prone to the odd outburst of temper,
our
Robert. And Mick Middlemo, his caddy, was on the receiving end of it.
Yep.
And Robert shipped him off.
He did.
He said, you're done, you can go.
Mid-round.
Mid-round.
That's it.
Caddy.
And then pulled a bloke out with a neck, a decent shade of red, just to carry it round for the rest of the round for him. Sacked his caddy mid-round.
Oh, he sacked the caddy mid-round.
Ninth hole.
And he's a recidivist.
Yes.
He's a recidivist. Poor old Mick Middlemo was a caddy in this occasion. But do you remember Bussy? He's a very good caddy for many
yeah,
years.
Yeah, I do.
Was caddying for him, this is about 7 years ago, I reckon, on the US tour. And they had a massive, massive blow-up. And Bussy he's caddying for Robert Allenby. He just got to say, I've had enough, dumped the bag and walked. And then, a couple of holes later, he comes walking back. And Allenby goes, oh, you've come to your senses, have you? Coming back? He goes, no, left my wallet, keys and phone in the bag. He had to grab them and then walked off.
Didn't Robert Allenby's caddy also have a blue with Mark Leishman's caddy on a practice green not long ago?
Yep, and this is the bloke he's just sacked is the same bloke that helped him get through all that that issue, the big night out in Hawaii. So he wouldn't want to be too hard on him, Jim.
No.
There's a bit more might come out about that story. So Robert Allenby better ship off.
Yep.
What about this poor old... Mick Fanning in South Africa. He went surfing and he got attacked by a shark.
In the middle of the final.
Well, I don't know if you're aware of News Thump is a website, Jim, and there's an article that's been written from the perspective of the shark.
Uh-oh.
And it starts, Shark Simon Williams has spoken of his relief at surviving a potentially life-threatening encounter with Australian surfer Mick Fanning. it's quite hilarious. And it says, he told us, I was just swimming along thinking about stopping for something to eat when the next thing I know I'm being sucker-punched by this Aussie. Right in the small of the back. I was stunned, but thankfully after a couple of punches he left me alone and I could make good my escape. It's very, very funny when you actually read it. But we've got to be brilliant. I'll just finish with the last paragraph. Yes. He said, he was getting a little bit of celebrity out of it. He goes, this one female asked how I got that big bruise on my back, and when I told her I was punched by an Aussie, she just hung on every word before asking if she could touch it.
Oh!
But I think what we really need to do is have a word to this shark, and I think he can consider himself very thankful that he only got a punch in the back.
That's it.
And he wasn't served up as the latest order of battered flake at the local hunky-dory. Don't worry about that. So ship off, shark. And now the reason it was a little bit too close to home for me tonight. Gary Lyon.
Your great and dear friend.
Yes, the Wolf.
Through thick and thin.
The Wolf. It's come to my attention that during the week
was
fated, perhaps by himself, as the number one sporting product to come out of the Goulburn Valley.
That is true.
You were there, Jim?
I heard the words.
Not true.
So we've done a little bit of research and we've come up with Stephen Pate, who is a world champion cyclist.
Yep.
He's come from the area. Matthew Elliott.
That's it.
Australian Test cricketer.
200 at Leeds.
Jim Higgs.
Yes.
Test cricketer. Leg spinner.
That's it.
Brett Deledio.
Three-time
best and fairest at the Richmond Football Club. I think it's now time we actually have to cut to the chase and say, what were you blokes thinking by arguing with him? Because he's clearly the best product to come out of the Golden Valley. So to Jim, to Wolf, to Jim,
the
to Warrior, to anyone else who's there, you can all ship on. Because in the back row is Golden Valley's number one sporting
the best
product. Do not worry about that.
Oh, I love the twist in that. I was flat for a
minute. Now, Wolf.
Look at this badge. Listen to this badge cleaning going on in the back here.
Golden Valley number one. I have to move to the front row.
Right, good. Get in on.
And the Warrior was my witness. We were there at the rush hour Wednesday afternoon.
Don't make stuff up, Chief.
And Jim actually cracked it because we were talking about something that he's trying to organise off-field. And he said, oh, any danger, give me thanks. You've never thanked me for anything in 15 years.
And that is true.
And I said, that's not quite right. I said, if you do something good, you know, I'll thank you. Yeah. And he goes, well, what about carrying the ratings for 15 years?
Oh.
And Warrior heard it. It was the epitome.
Don't be making stuff up.
Warrior, did I make it up?
I think he followed it up with...
Wait. Did he or did he not say, I've been carrying it for 15 years? And then we're all having a laugh, thinking he's just joking. And then he goes, you know I'm right.
No.
Jim, the reason we have had success here at Triple N is because we are... he's gone again! We are team-oriented. We relate to the common person, so you have to come down from your ivory tower. You have to get your head out of your own ass. You have to stop drinking your own bar of water. And you need to just say, hey, it's a team effort. It's not about me.
Chief, this is my fourth straight appearance in the ship off.
Well, rightfully so, Jim, because I'm right behind you.
Hard to see it stopping, Jim. Come and talk to me when it's 9 or 10 in a row because you just keep giving us fodder. So ship off, Jim!
Best rendition since its inception.
He's getting his eye in, the Chief. He's getting his eye nicely in.
The pack like it. They love a good session.
A couple of the early ones are a little bit glass eye, but now I'm seeing now some real momentum until the end when I get shipped off. Man who's... we had an extended spell, but he's back and I think going nicely, the Big Duke. Flying along.
Had a holiday, left us, and went out a holiday.
I actually caught up with the Duke in Bali and had a couple of bintangs one afternoon. And
tried to dodge you, but...
And he just had a little bit extra time over there, which you would have enjoyed, Duke, but
nice
to see you back.
Extended stay, Jim. Good to be here. I need to have words with the Chief, but it's going to have to hold for a while because I've never, and this is... it must be 6 years I've been in this box. Never seen the excitement quite like when our next guest entered the box. It was a standing handshake. Yes. Everyone were quiet in the room. Yeah. So I think we need to get into it,
Jim. Well, this man, of course, plays for the Blues. Not playing tonight, which is great sadness, but he's a cult figure on Triple M football. Nominated early. You have to be a superstar, and I think Pelé is the greatest ever, to go by just one name.
Correct.
If one name identifies you as a sportsman,
Madonna.
Gary, then there you are. Then you are. That's all you need to know about the level of a man.
Yeah, well, you make the Triple M All-Star Team of the Century 3 years running, Jim.
That's it.
That puts you in rarefied air. So that's push-up king territory.
That's it. Well, the surname's Armfield, of course, but we only know him as Dennis, and he's been good enough to come in and join us. Dennis, welcome.
No, thanks for having me, guys. It's an absolute honour.
Before we do the...
The honour is ours.
Exactly. Before we get to the questions, and we've got lots of them for you, I don't know, because you're playing in the game, you're probably not aware of the treatment you get from the Triple M box. Have your mates told you?
Oh, I've heard a bit, yeah. A couple of my mates back in Perth have told me about it, and I'm pretty rapt by it as well. To make the team of the year a few years running is pretty special.
Three in a row.
Well,
a lock for this year.
Just have a listen to how we enjoy your work. Dennis turned around to confront Williams, and the ball had gone over his head. Now Williams, look out, Dennis! Oh. Dennis! That's what he's out there for, Gary.
Good tackling machine.
That style of business. To Bell. Bell to Dennis. Dennis runs in. Armfield sticks it through the gun. Punt right in. Now we've got some work to do. Bunting on the very quick. Dennis. Look at Dennis go. He's bloody run out of his own shoes. Kept it in. Shoots it handy. And a bounce. Dennis. What about Dennis? Underground. Dennis. Dennis.
Oh, magic.
On the ground.
The magic man.
Oh, what are we dealing with?
Get on board, Spud.
Dennis. Oh, we can package that up for you, Dennis, if you like. I'm going to send you on email.
I haven't heard me named that much in my life.
Should be your ringtone.
should be. Something special, that's for sure.
Well, the good news off air, you were telling us you're not going to miss as much footy as it looks like you should with the sling you've got your arm in.
Yeah, look, it's healing pretty well. Just once the swelling goes down, I can cast it up and away I go. So hopefully I can get rid of the swelling pretty quick.
And what is it? What have you done?
Broken arm. Broke my ulna. Just had a plate in place and away we go.
How'd you do that?
Behind play, I was a bit frustrated and just tried to push off my opponent and sort of backfired. His elbow met my forearm and away a snap.
There's no doubt Dennis could play tonight if they'd let him.
Well,
he would want to.
He's got recuperative powers
beyond the normal. What's it been like, mate? Big change, big upheaval. Johnny Barker comes in. From your own point of view, does your role change on the back of a new coach coming in?
Oh, look, Mick was probably a bit more defensive. And when Johnny came in, he sort of said, look, we want you to keep that defensive side, but sort of freed me up a little bit. I didn't have as many run with roles. So that was me personally. From the size perspective, it's just a new face, you know, fresh person, fresh rules. Everyone had the clean slate. And, you know, as you can see, a lot of young kids now taking over, which is really good.
Enjoying a bit of time at the other end as well. We saw you play so much halfback early in some of your run with roles, seen you a bit at half forward and enjoy getting on the scoreboard too, mate.
Yeah, it probably took me a while to get used to it. Start my career at half back and that back pocket shut down sort of role, yep. And then getting up forward, I sort of wasn't used to turning around, having a shot, so it was kind of weird. But yeah, look, I was getting on the end of it towards the end to the latter part of my career, so hopefully I can continue that.
We need three Dennises, Chief. It's as simple as that.
One in each zone.
We need a midfield Dennis, a forward Dennis, and a back Dennis.
It's a good point because they don't, Gary, have a lot of leg speed, Carlton. No. It's one of the issues. And Dennis provides plenty of that pre-season time when you take the boys on over maybe 30 or 40 or 50. Have you got them covered? Have you got even Yaron covered?
We only do the 20-metre test. And, yeah, I've got them all covered. So
you've got them all covered?
Yes. Yes.
Don't worry about that, mate.
See, there's power in the speed as well.
I hope everyone's listening to that because their perception would be to be Yaz or...
I don't even think Yaz is top three.
Just kick him while he's...
Who are the other two? Who are the dangers?
Dylan Buckley.
Dylan Buckley. Quick.
Zach Tui.
And for those who know out there, what time do you do over 20 metres?
2.73.
That is lightning. That'd be almost number one in the AFL, that would be.
Is that the draft camp stuff?
That's the draft camp thing. That would be right up there, Dennis, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be up there. Yeah, it'd be quicker, but it'd be up there.
Oh, I've got a question for you, Dennis, because I know you were born in Canberra, but then you went over to play in Perth, of course, where I originated, and you're out at Swan Districts, which is a nice sort of bogan dump part of the joint.
I was waiting for it.
The real pox
region,
shite heap. So you've come from there to Carlton, which is, of course, one of the nicer parts of Melbourne and one of the blue riband clubs. How have you adapted, do you reckon?
Yeah, it took me a while, that's for sure. you know, I had to watch me back in Perth, but it took me a while to adapt, but loving it here. Obviously, I live in Ascot Vale, which is a nice little suburb. Yes. So, it's a lot more upper class than where I'm from, but you never forget where you come from.
Well, and that nicely segues me into my next question, because I've noticed you've stuck ferociously with the moustache.
It's got a trim.
And it has got a nice trim. You started to get a bit of D'Artagnan about it there for a while. But what's the go with it? You've just decided it's for you, or is there any sort of story behind it?
Look, mate, I'll get a haircut, and if I have a fresh shave as well, I look about 13 years old, so... I thought if I can grow some facial hair, at least it makes me look a little bit older and don't get asked for ID everywhere I go. So that's why it's growing. And it's probably something I've always enjoyed having on my face as well.
And as soon as, and this is one of the only disappointments of being here tonight, because as soon as you run out, we all die for our binoculars and just get a look at you because we like to see where you're at. And the artwork, I've noticed, has grown over the years. What's the story? Is there a story behind it all?
Yeah, my grandmother passed away, so I got her name started on my chest, and then it became her portrait on my arm, and then it became my father's name on one chest and then his portrait on the other arm. And I'm actually currently in the process of removing one off my back and starting a whole... No, nah, not
making
a girlfriend.
Room.
Just
making
a, room. A mate's home job, which I kind of regret doing. So, we're in the process of removing that.
How far are we going? Are we going Swanee style?
No, I won't go much further. I want to be able to sort of wear a T-shirt and be covered over. So,
what about a Triple M Rocks footy sort of thing?
Might have to think about something, chuck it on me back when I get that done.
He won't think about that for long.
They tell me that the removal of the tattoo is extraordinarily painful.
A thousand times worse
than getting it on.
Yeah, I get my whole body tattooed before I get one removed. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
What about Warrior? What would he run with? What sort of tat would you run with?
A bit of barbed wire, I reckon. Around one of those big arms.
Teardrop under the eye.
The bicep. Hey, Dennis, what about some of your goal kickers? And I'm talking about Levi and Lockie Henderson. It's been a bit of a battle, obviously, but they find the footy all right, but converting hasn't been their great strength. And we've been watching him out there, big Levi with Sav Rocker. Seems to have made some ground.
Yeah, Levi's definitely improved. I reckon this is probably going to sound negative, but probably 6-7 weeks ago, we probably were sitting there going, oh, no, where's this going to go?
No doubt about that.
At least now we're sort of sitting there going, we're pretty confident he's going to kick it. He's really improved. He's put in a lot of hard work. The accuracy probably doesn't just go to those two, though. It's probably the whole side at the moment. We're kicking a lot of points. especially set shots are hurting us at the moment. So it's something we have to improve, and hopefully tonight we've got our kicking boots on.
Dan, it's always difficult when you're asked about a coach. You tend to say positive things all the time, but there just seems to be a good feeling under Johnny Barker, and the competitiveness of the team also seems to have improved since maybe he's just taken a few of the shackles off.
Yeah, look, he's just came in. He's been really good for the team. He's just kept it basic, went back to the, you know, hard ball gets, tackles and pressure. That keeps us competitive, and then slowly but surely each week we've added something else in. You know, but like the club has that, the panel of selectors, and, you know, there's probably people on board that can get the job next year, and I know whoever gets selected will probably be the best one for the job, definitely for the boys out there now.
Dennis, it's been a season with very few highlights for Carlton, obviously, but Paddy Cripps is one such person, isn't he? Yeah. Take us through, if you can, just his short time in the game and what you've noticed with him and where you expect him to get.
Oh, look, Paddy Cripps was probably someone that we knew was always had the, you know, capability to really turn, to become an AFL player. And we sort of just knew that he needed the continuity of games, and he sort of got given that this year, and he's probably proved that he's probably one of the hardest at it players for our side. And he can match it with the big boys. And look, he's probably still learning the game, and probably still, you know, he's very young and immature football-wise. And, you know, hopefully he can, another pre-season under his belt, and next year he can come out and really dominate the AFL scene.
And the guy you mentioned before, Dylan Buckley, for the quickness reasons, is he, in your eyes, putting together a reasonable season for where he's at too?
Yeah, definitely. I reckon he's coming along well. Again, another player that sort of finally got some continuity in his games, and, you know, he'll probably have another big job again tonight with the Hawthorne forward line. But yeah, look, he's hard at it. He just puts his head in spots where a lot of people wouldn't. So, you know, that's what we want at the Carlton, and hopefully that can continue.
If you just joined us on Triple M Football, the voice you're hearing is Dennis Arnfield. Dennis, probably the number one man, Gaz, I'd have to say, in Triple M Footy.
Wolfpack are loving Dennis. Where are the Wolfpack?
No, I'm not sure of the Wolfpack, no.
Question.
We have to get onto it. Sorry for letting us down.
No, they said the great man, too bad he's not playing. Carlton games are worth watching when he plays. Deb Cannon, who's the vice chairman, loving Dennis, bringing his stylings to the rub.
Jim,
back love Dennis.
Yes. At their peak, who had the bigger cult following? Push up or Dennis?
Well, I would say push up only because the physical intimidation factor of the little man, because he was connected. whereas Dennis brings beautiful styling out on the ground, but probably hasn't got that fear factor off it as much.
If you're wandering through Swan District, so yeah, exactly. Dennis would be your man. That's you'd like right. to have on board. Who are your mates, Dennis? Who do you get around with in your social time at the Blues?
Good question. Probably Lockie Henderson's probably one of my close friends. Zach Tui, Troy Menzel, a few of the younger boys. I try to keep myself young, you know, and probably try to stray away from the Swan District's boys because they're a bit rough around the edges.
Is there a Mrs. Dennis?
Yeah, there's a fiance. Yeah, her name's Abby. Been engaged for 6-7 months now. So
Perth girl?
Nah, she's a Melbourne girl. Yeah, so I think I'm a Melbourne boy now, which is scary to say.
Where did we meet Abby, Den?
Met her through a friend.
Yeah, website.
Yeah, RSVP. I just met her through a friend, and yeah, we just got chatting, and away we went.
Well, take your time with that, Dennis, would be my advice. Because you're a long time married, take it from me. Yeah. And just let yourself have a bit of a glimpse around. Chief, when you've got this level of stardom, you need to
there's hearts cracking open everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah,
he's pretty happy, Jim, you can tell.
Now, I know that. A couple of nipsies I want to ask you about. Firstly, our man Nick Graham. I always ask everyone about him because he came in looking like a boy band member, had a real shocking sort of head on him, but he can play.
Yeah, look, he's probably one of the ones that looks like Jane, but plays like Tarzan. Yes. So, he's very much a pretty boy. He loves his looks.
Does he?
You know, he likes
looks
a bit of
like
a,
it.
Loves the tan. Loves his hair being in place.
Does he?
But, yeah, look, on the field, he's a totally different character. And, you know, he's another player along with Patrick Cripps and Buckley were playing well.
Why isn't he playing tonight? I should know that and I don't.
Just injured. I should know that as well.
Injured. Well, he's been very good. Nick Graham.
Yeah.
Not played tonight.
Who else is in that category of loving themselves? Dennis?
Oh, who is it?
I would say Mark Murphy.
He's probably a quiet achiever.
When I say love yourself, I mean taking pride in appearance. And,
you definitely take pride in appearance. Tom Bell's one that likes to, but you wouldn't tell.
He's not working for him.
He's probably been beaten with the ugly stick a bit too much.
I'm happy to say it too. I like that.
Warming up now, Dennis.
I like that, Dennis.
But, and probably Troy Menzel's the other one that likes to look after himself a bit.
How about you and Juddy? How was your relationship with the great Chris Judd? Did you spend a bit of time with him?
Yeah, look... obviously, you're following his footsteps because he's a great leader and one of the best. Look, I've spoken to him a couple of times since his retirement. All's going well. He's in working life now, so plugging away. But yeah, look, the relationship was good.
And Nick Holman, who's a boy from Kyabram, he's had opportunity in the last 3 weeks or so. Is he going okay?
Yeah, he's going really well. His form in the VFL is super. He was probably bleeding the, you know, hard at it player, and yeah. I think he's brought that in too. And you know, we're not asking him to get 30 odd possessions, we're just asking him to crack in, and that's what he's doing.
Big Cruz as well is a great story. We're all so concerned that we might never see the best of what he's got to offer, such a talented bloke, but certainly in the last fortnight he looks like he's getting back to what he's capable of doing.
He's probably been our best player in the last fortnight, leading by example for a big man to what he does at ground level, and what he does in defensively as well is super. So hopefully that can continue, and hopefully he can finish off the year well and come strong into next year.
Well, Dennis, it's been a great pleasure having you in. You've just heard how big a favourite you are of us at Triple M, so continue to dominate is all I'll say to you.
I'll keep trying, boys.
Get back out on the park, Dennis, yeah, please.
Thank you, Dennis.
One of the members of the pack and others want to know whether they can get the Dennis package downloaded. Can you post that on the app tonight, Big Nose? Is that possible or not? It'll be online.
So you'll be able to get hold of that. And something caught your eye, Duke?
Well, it did, Jim. It happened on Saturday night last week. I was up at ANZ Stadium doing the Swans and the Hawks game. Yes. And as you know, the Hawks are playing. You know that the Chief will be on the couch
and he'll be
glued to the telecast, as I found out. And I think it was a fairly dominant win by Hawthorn, as you know. And they're up by a fair bit. And Bristol, in commentary, wandered off. And I can't remember. I was trying to remember on the way here what the segue was, but he somehow mentioned Zeno Tatsaras in commentary.
Footscray fullback.
Footscray fullback. I'm not sure, only played a handful of games, Zeno. And then said, I think Zeno may have kept the great chief, Jason Dunstall, goals.
All-time.
You were listening where? Yeah. So it was just that. It was a reflex action.
I thought you
were rubbing salt into my man's wound.
I reckon within a... You know, when the phone text came through and it lit up my phone. And this was what greeted me.
What did you
0.01 of a second later.
Yep.
Get your facts right, cockhead. Zeno Tatsaras. You are kidding yourself.
Don't be disrespectful to Zeno.
And hello to Zeno listening of course. He was a good bloke.
I'm happy to put this on our website if you want verification and the Chief's number to go with
what
it.
What I'd like you to do is put verification at the time that I sent it to you.
It was immediately afterwards.
Do you think so?
So then, anyway...
This is very interesting. Given the game was on Saturday night and I was doing a Perth game last Saturday night,
well,
it'd be very difficult for me to be watching that game and send you a text.
Well, anyway, did you want
so to, it may have been when I watched the replay the next day, let that get in the way of the good story, pencil neck. I mean, it'd be silly to confuse the truth with it, wouldn't it?
Why don't you just pipe down, you big wolf-headed
peanut, and
I will continue this on. So I sent back you were Zeno's bitch, Chief.
I like your response.
And then I got back, shame you have to resort to utter fabrication, not great for your reputation integrity, mate. Some facts should be checked before you run with them. You've got to be serious.
Didn't he just?
Perhaps you should go and consult Josh Kay, I would have thought,
maybe.
Man. So I have done that. And unfortunately, the Chief averaged five and a half goals a game against the Bulldogs in his 21 games, kicked 116. He was goalless 15 times, the Chief. Five of them in your first 36 games. But
was Zeno one of them?
I tragically have to say that Zeno wasn't.
That's an urban myth.
It is an urban myth. And this is almost Mythbusters tonight, Chief.
I said that
in good faith because I've been told that many times.
I know.
So what happened?
He did beat me on the day. It was out at the Western Oval.
97?
I kicked. I had 3.5 times.
Quite.
And I was having a tough day.
Encyclopedic recollection.
Very good player. I remember it because just after...
I don't think he's a very good player.
In the third quarter,
he wasn't a very
I dislocated
player.
My finger and couldn't get it back in.
Here we go.
I was having that many efforts. You know, I had to, actually had to go off to get the... the physio. The physio couldn't get it back in on the ground, so I had to go off and get the doctor
so
to put it back in.
So you played with one hand, really.
No, and then when I came back, I was a little bit tentative, Gaz. I don't like saying that because I always prided myself on my hardness and my ability to deal with pain. But as opposed to someone like Jim would have gone to hospital, I strapped it up, got back out there, and unfortunately it wasn't at my best.
So how many did you end up with?
Only 3 or 4, I think, for the day.
I see.
So how many on Zeno? All on Zeno.
Yeah, that's what I
played. So who did keep me goalless?
But he beat me in a lot of one-on-ones there. Scotty Turner kept me goalless. I reckon.
You also kicked 16 against him, 17 against
probably
him.
Probably Rod Carter kept me goalless.
Tilt. Yeah. Tony Campbell?
Who?
TC had a good Campbell. Record on no, you
no,
too,
no.
I reckon.
No. He had a good record. He kept me to 8. 3 and 4. And they kept me to 3 and 4 in the last game and then the first final. I got 14 on next time I played. that was neither here nor there. So I'm trying to think. Mate, there are a lot of blokes queuing up to keep me goalless at the end. Spud was normally good for 8.
So you just need to be very careful on a Saturday night if you wander into Chief territory.
While we're dealing with things that aren't comfortable, I haven't broached this with anyone. It just occurred to me then.
Yes.
Duke.
I know where you're going with this, by the way.
Now, sometimes when you're doing your post-game interview,
I know where
you need to display a degree of sensitivity. And regardless of how good a mate we are with all, not all players, but some, did you go down the wrong path with
I apologise to Chief because I was factually incorrect on Zeno Tataro. But you know when you've crossed the line. And you're a ferocious reader of the online news. So I've been copying it all week for a Twitter outrage worry, which is part of the way news is reported now. Yep. And I reckon it's actually not dissimilar to the Boomer Harvey outrage this week I heard the first half hour on the
way. What did you do, Duke? I've missed
it. So Ruff in the room. So post-game, we did a feature story on Ruff.
Yep.
Matthew Richardson 1-on-1. In that feature story, so the look hasn't improved a hell of a lot along the lines with that. And 8th question in.
Given that he's had a skin cancer removed from his lip.
Correct. And we'd celebrated the great story. And everyone took a collective sigh of relief when Ruff, and we've known him since the day he debuted, and we all love Ruff. So my last question to Ruff, and I said, you mentioned in the package with Richo, might have been timely the engagement to Sarah because the look hasn't improved a lot with the scar down your chin now. And he said, oh, mate, not even the boys have had a go at me yet. You can't go down that path.
So I honestly haven't seen it.
I haven't even bothered to follow up with a message to Ruff because that's not what you would do because if you felt like you'd done something wrong.
No.
But all week, the headline has been done. Darcy, cancer, gag goes wrong, melanoma, disaster. Ooh. Ridiculous headlines.
Did he react?
No, he reacted like that. It was with humour.
As a viewer, Darcy, just being honest, my reaction to it was that he did react adversely to it. And that's just my take on what I saw.
Ruff rings in now and says that's the case, and I didn't feel the need to follow up because we shook hands, he was there afterwards. We've all known Ruff for the best part of a decade. And to me, that's the same sort of thing that you do with Dennis, where
I did wonder whether or not he was, because he can deadpan, Ruff.
He can
deadpan with the best of them, and you don't know whether.
And there was a bit of deadpan about it, but unless I'm horribly mistaken, and I've had no cause to be that, it was as we do every time we interview someone here on Triple M. So, anyway.
Correct, Wade. Parker Duck's going to drag a few in.
No doubt.
What's the relevance?
The other thing with Ruff, of course,
it's the 90s thing.
Duke, and let's be very, very honest about the fact that we are all absolutely delighted that
we
all take seriously, and Jack Riewoldt spoke during the week about the fact that he'd had one removed from his back, and we all have to be careful. I get mole mapped every year because I'm apparently in the top quartile of people going to end up with it, so I know how serious it is. So we're parking all of that when we make the obvious statement that he's a horrific looking man. So
Jim.
What?
You're talking about Ruff.
Ruff.
Our man Ruff.
Terrible looking setup.
You don't back the truck up over it, mate.
No, I'm just. I've parked.
Duke's just got himself out of the hole.
I parked what the issue he had because
pull a
I
shovel
respect.
Out. You got the bulldozer out.
I respect that it's necessary to go there. But with that parked aside.
Be careful.
I find him in a Celtic sort of a way of handsome.
Yes. No. So as do I.
Real I don't at all.
Irish
pasty sort of real white sort of skinage.
Oh, contraire.
And red hair but receding.
There he is, the champ. Look at the
setup on him.
Sporting a very short haircut. Have you ever come across the beautiful Sarah?
Sarah is a magnificent girl and I can't work it out.
Absolute stunner. And that was more my point.
Yes.
Just the
she's gorgeous.
Ordinary level that he's batting.
I said that to her at Campbell Brown's wedding. I said you've made a horrific mistake and I think you can get out of it.
Jim, you don't think people have said the same thing about you at different stages?
No, I don't.
You could be standing next to anything female, Jim.
No, I don't, Chief.
And people would say the same thing.
I'm pretty confident that's never been said.
This gets back to what we were talking about before. What are we dealing with in the front row here, guys?
I did say two weeks ago when he was doing his ratings rant, I have no humility.
None.
Do you know what I reckon my problem is? I've spent a little too much time around Jim.
It's rubbing off.
It's a front row disease, Chief. That starts to rub off on each other.
Stick your chest out, Duke. It's the only way through, I'm telling you right now.
Just delivers once for the station, Chief.
Especially when I'm hanging around with you, Chief, because it's your state at home to try and drag me down. I've got to pump myself back up.
Horrendous.
shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks football.